Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates, belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates Consecrated to Redemptive Love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at www.prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. Hello, everyone. Good morning. I am Lisa Lindsay, your guest moderator today, and I have a friend with me today, Monica Heichel. Monica?
Good morning.
Good
Hello.
Morning. How about if you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are.
I am Monica Heichel with the Pro-Sanctity Movement, a member of this secular institute that supports the Pro-Sanctity Movement, the Apostolic Oblates. I am in my final year of formation, will take vows in about 1 year.
Wow, that's so exciting.
It is exciting.
We'll all be praying for you.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. And we're here today. We have a formation guide at Pro-Sanctity, and the 2010-2011 annual plan of formation had a theme, which is a saint, fully human, fully alive, celebrate holiness. And each month there's a chapter that, or each continue part of time, you know, in the continuing series, we have chapters. And this chapter that we're talking about today is chapter 12. And chapter 12 is a saint is the continuation in time of the redemptive love of the Word made flesh so that we might know the Father's love. The redemptive love of the Word made flesh so that we might know the Father's love. And there's a quote here from Bishop Jacinta, and it says, "Redemptive love is the love of the Father, which in Christ and in the Spirit saves and satisfies us. We respond to this love by offering our lives as instruments to continue the Father's love." So this is very beautiful, very beautiful quote. And we're going to try to break that open a little bit more.
What does it mean? You know?
What does it mean? You know, and it begins, it says, redemptive love is the love of the Father, which in Christ and in the Spirit saves and satisfies us. How can we open ourselves to receive, in order to be saved and satisfied, how can we open ourselves to receive the redemptive love of the Father that we can experience what Bishop Jacinta is talking about here? What are the kinds of things that we can do?
We're given so many means through the Church.
He
is always working in our lives, and we do just need to receive the grace that he is offering us. And we do that through the sacramental life. A lot of times, I think we just don't, I don't think anybody, doesn't matter who you are, realizes how great the gifts, the sacraments are, just because they are such big gifts. And so we are called to cultivate this awareness and then participate in them at the same time. Through our baptism, we were given this sanctifying grace, and we became children of God. And so this is a great dignity, great gift, but also comes with responsibility that we need to live out the baptismal promises that we made at baptism. It was through others if we were baptized as babies, but we have come to accept and receive that and to live that out. And so because we are living in this state of grace, we have access to the other sacraments.
Yes.
We hopefully receive confirmation and the Eucharist.
The Eucharist,
the source and summit of the Christian life. Just
everything.
What an amazing, amazing gift. But again, it's easy to go through Mass and be distracted or, you know, right, the routine. But there's no routine. This is God present on our altar. And just even that time and eternity meet, and it's not just Jesus there. This is this offering of Christ to the Father, the sacrifice of Calvary made present here, represented. We are participating in this one sacrifice. He's not sacrificed over and over. This is the one sacrifice.
Yes.
How amazing.
It's amazing. And I had somebody say to me once, you know, if you, that when you receive the Eucharist, this is Christ's body touching you. Christ has touched you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow.
Right.
Wow, with what reverence and respect. Right. It's you know, if you truly recognize, like you said, Monica, the sacraments are so big that we all, you know, almost can't comprehend. It's such a big and amazing gift.
Right.
And that God touches me in that, you know, in a physical way, you know, with the body and blood of Christ. It's just an amazing way. And to realize that is to receive that redemptive love that he is offering
us. And to truly, to trust in the graces of the sacrament.
Yes.
That this isn't, it's not our job to make it happen.
No.
It's our job to receive.
Yeah.
And the Lord gives us the grace to do that. And so sometimes, you know, we are going to be distracted and we are going to feel dry and we are going to think that, well, what am I really getting out of this? Or what am I really giving myself? But to go against that and say, Lord, yes, I do believe.
I believe.
I do believe. Help my unbelief. And you are here and open me to receive you in a deeper way.
I love it. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief.
That's scripture. Yes.
It's a big, is that, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so the sacraments, those are ways
right. Reconciliation. That's another one to talk about because
especially
in order to
now,
receive the Eucharist. Yeah. Yes. But to receive the Eucharist, we need to be in a state of grace. But for those who are really journeying towards holiness and aren't committing those mortal sins, the sacrament is still so beautiful, and it gives us this great grace in seeing. Then we are forced to examine our lives and see where we are still failing to follow the Lord completely. Where are we failing, and giving that to him to heal us?
And I think, I mean, you know, we can all go. I don't care who you might think you are. I heard Pope John Paul II went once a week, so I think I could probably at least once a year, you know, probably a lot more than that.
Right, to try to make that a regular thing so we can grow in this true healing that is offered to us. So it's not just the forgiveness of sins, which is huge, but there's a healing that takes place, that this is the place where the Lord wants to love us, is in that, our woundedness, because that's who we are.
Yeah.
We are wounded, and he wants to redeem us and make us whole.
Oh, hallelujah, right? This is beautiful. Yes. And other ways of opening ourselves up, we have the sacraments. Like you said, there's so many things that we can do. We can do it through prayer, right?
And the Catechism talks about how the sacraments are the source of our life.
Yes.
But prayer is a way to help us receive those sacraments more and to let them flow to all parts of our lives and to receive those gifts and then to prepare ourselves for them. So you go to Mass, but if you are praying through previously to that, then it helps you receive at Mass. And then you pray after Mass, and it helps you to open up those graces that you have received and to continue to receive from them, because this is all about relationship. It's not about getting the prayers done. It's about being in relationship with the one who loves us and whom we are made to love.
Amen. That's beautiful. And so we have the sacraments and we have prayer. Also, spiritual reading is a gift, because we're, you know, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us.
Right.
And there's so many wonderful, wonderful books that we can open ourselves up to. You might want to look for an imprimatur. Not all the books are good.
Right. Yes. But we have the great saints, saints who have left us not only their life stories, but also, I mean, Saint Therese, the story of a soul, and then everything that goes along with that.
Yes. It's her little way. Mm-hmm. And actually, and people think, oh, those books are so expensive. Well, guess what? I found my story of a soul at a garage sale. Okay. I got it 25 cents. I can't believe what you can get for 25 cents. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. I got a book on Mother Angelica at a half price bookstore one time. And I think I've told this story before, but in the back of the book, it said something like to Eileen from Aunt so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so. I thought, oh, the Lord is so good. Right. Even though Eileen didn't get it, I got it, So his word does not return void. So they're wonderful, wonderful spiritual reading. And but once again, check for imprimaturs and make sure you're reading good stuff. Also, they can go to silent retreats. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who just went to one
recently.
And we have just a multitude of ways of opening ourselves up to receive that redemptive love.
And part of I guess there's the why behind it too. Why do we care? Sometimes we kind of get caught up in, well, we know we're supposed to.
Yes.
But
that's true.
But why? Why do we care about opening ourselves up to receive redemptive love and then to offer ourselves back in love to the Father? Mm-hmm. That's what we're made for. That's
right.
The secret, everybody. I'm going to tell you a secret.
Listen closely. Yes.
But God is our origin and our end.
Yes.
So everything comes from Him. Everything is gift. And so if that's all we knew, then just out of justice, we would owe Him our very lives back. And that still wouldn't be enough. But He's also our end, meaning He's our happiness, our eternal beatitude. He is who we are made for, to live with, to love. And so this is where we get our satisfaction. I mean, this quote that we're talking about from Bishop Jacinta, that this satisfies us, that this is where we find that rest, that peace, is in receiving from the Lord and then responding to that love with our lives laid down as Christ laid His life down on the cross in obedience to the Father. We are called to do the same, lay our lives down in obedience to the Father, united with Christ's offering. And in that way, we become fulfilled. And how beautiful.
How beautiful. Our souls are restless until they rest in God, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's very beautiful. And so we get filled up with this grace, and we want to go out and do something now, okay? How can we offer our lives? Well, just like a Mary, full of grace, the first thing she did, was she ran to Elizabeth, to help her.
Right.
How can we, in our daily lives, offer our lives as instruments to continue the Father's love?
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that
in Pro Sanctity, we talk about holiness in daily life.
Right.
And so we should, as we receive from the Lord, the response should be one that is a response, not just, I'm going to stay enclosed within myself, enjoying these.
Really?
We have to come. We need to continue to enjoy the fruits of our prayer as we go out and share with others. We, as baptized people, as the laity, we are called to evangelize. The church, evangelization is her mission. That is who she is. And we are part of that church. And so we are called to go out to evangelize. But sometimes that going out is within our own families.
Right.
It doesn't need to be big. You mean I
don't have to go out and get a show or something and do a play and knock on doors in my neighborhood right away?
No, just radio programs.
That's for some. you never know.
But yes, we are called to evangelize where we are. Yes. And if we only think that means going somewhere else, then we're never going to do it. Right. Because we need to do it where we are.
That's true, because you're always preparing. Well, maybe I can do it next week or the week after.
Right.
But you could begin right where you are, right?
Don't wait till you're at a bigger place. You know, well, maybe when I have more of an impact, then I can say something. Well, and yes, it takes discernment when to speak up and how to speak up. And so we need to be doing this with the Lord. It's not, I'm going to go out and do it.
You can't bang people over the head. Listen to me.
Because we don't know when they're ready. We don't know when their hearts are open to receive. But the Lord does.
He does.
And he's the one who's providing that grace. And he's the one who's providing the words through us. And so to be listening. So it's not this forced thing, which sometimes I get caught up in. Oh, now I have to say something, and I'm so riled up right now. It's gonna be uncharitable. And well, maybe I just need to calm down a second, see where the Lord is leading. If he wants me to say something, he'll give me the grace. If he doesn't, then he'll give me the grace to keep my mouth shut.
And that is good advice. Whatever advice he gives you, I think you should listen for sure. So you start off maybe in your family. So maybe. You improve yourself as a spouse, or for me, as a spouse, as a mother. One of the things that seems that we always seem to be working on it, and I am, is patience. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, to respond, to wait and respond according to the grace that you can receive from the Lord. And so that things don't rile you up and your peace isn't taken all the time, so that you can do God's work. So that's one place you can do it. You can offer your life in your workplace, right?
Right, right. Again, where you find yourself.
Wherever you are.
We are called to be witnesses. And Pope Paul VI talked about in Evangelii Nuntiandi, talked about the world needing witnesses and that it needs teachers too. But it will only listen to those teachers if they are also witnesses.
Yes.
Just words won't get us anywhere. And people know and are able to pick up on, is this flowing from somebody who is trying to live this and proclaim it? He also states, though, that it's not enough to just be witnesses. That is insufficient. We also need to proclaim Christ. And so to not have an inferiority complex, Benedict the 16th talks about it. We must not have inferiority complexes as Christians.
Right.
We need to be in the political world. We need to be in the social world. We need
in
to
the workplace.
Yes.
Stop hiding your spiritual reading.
Right. Don't look at this.
Put it on your bookshelf. Mm-hmm. I have a lovely friend who told me she was putting out her, she had a little crush that she had out during the Christmas season. And, beautiful. And she said, it's just interesting. Little things like that, that proclaim you're Christian. Like you said, you're not going to start banging people over the heads or losing your job, but you can say, this is who I am. Be who you are at home. Be that person at work too. Mm-hmm. Don't be ashamed of whom you are.
And to stand up for the truth. I mean,
yes.
Truth comes from God, who is truth. And so as we proclaim the truth in every, about the dignity of human life, about being honest in practices at work. I mean, just everything.
Yes. Being a good employee, you said honest in your in your practices at work. Very much so,
much. And then not being afraid to actually talk about the faith too, even in these little ways, like you're saying. It's not just that I'm a Christian, but I want to share that with you. And so again, in little ways, it's not against the law to talk about this. And it is in some countries, and you die for that even today.
Right.
And we still have the privilege that we aren't dying for that, but we need to be willing to.
Well, and if, you know, Monica, if somebody comes to you and tells you they're in some bad situation and they are, troubled, then you can pray with them. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to pray with them. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead and begin. You might be surprised, you know. and ask, of course, do you mind if I pray with you about this? And you pray over them for the, you pray about the situation. And you let it go. You don't have to, you can let them and let the Lord and let that person lead you any further. But that may have a profound effect on that person.
And it's amazing what will happen. I mean, when people find out what I'm doing as an apostolic oblate, I also work as a physical therapist, and you know, it comes up. People know I'm approachable then, because a lot of times they feel like they shouldn't bring up religion, they shouldn't bring up Christ, but they know it's safe with me.
Yes,
like, it's okay, and they can ask me. They can
so often
to pray for them, and they can, you know. So even that piece of being a witness is really can be a bridge for people.
And you can also all of the churches where you're at are in need of some kind of help. So you can also work in the ministries in your churches. You can be an EME, you can be a lector, you know, let your children be servers. You know, we've got candle servers, we have altar servers. There are all kinds of ways that we can offer our lives as instruments to continue the Father's love. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about some examples of that. Obviously, I talked about the Blessed Mother and her running to help Elizabeth was her response. And look at how Mother Teresa with the poor in Calcutta, and Pope John Paul II. There are a lot of examples. We're definitely going to have more on that on this show. And we'll talk more about that. But there are so many examples for us.
And I have to, I mean, St. Therese, the little flower, we have to talk about her.
We
because
always.
She, which we did already, but she comes back because it's the little way. Yeah. And so maybe some people are called to go to the poorest of the poor and give up their whole lives to do that. Yes. And some people, though, are called to live a very ordinary life, the little way, offering every action in obedience, in great love to the Father. And that's where saints are born. I mean, St. Therese, who did give her life and live in this cloistered convent for her short life.
I mean, she did a small little place you can't believe.
Yes. And she didn't go anywhere. And yet the whole world knows about her. She has so many saints have come through her sacrifice. But she didn't see that when she just trusted.
Yes.
And offered in this little way. And so I find great encouragement in that as I'm mowing the lawn and, it struck me once, I could not do something better than this. This is the most I could be doing right now because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And if I do God's will with love, that's the most I could be doing.
Wow.
Mowing the lawn.
Wow. I know. And we should rejoice. It was so beautiful when you read that the story of a soul. Mm-hmm. She rejoiced in those little things. I can do this. And she was happy. And we can find happiness and satisfaction doing the same work, doing the same kinds of things. Mm-hmm. We talked about prayer a little bit as one of the ways to open ourselves to receive the redemptive love of the Father. And a lot of people are just getting started with prayer. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what exactly, you know, I feel kind of funny, you know, you just decide that you're going to start praying every day. And they're different. I mean, you always hear contemplative, meditative, yoga, all these things in the world, you know, all this craziness, you know, what do I do? They don't know what to, you know, they don't know what to do. What would you say to somebody? You know, Monica, I'd like to begin a life of prayer. What would you suggest?
Well, it's all about relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's listening and it's giving him everything and receiving everything from him. And so I recommend to people to take 10 minutes a day and just say, I'm going to stick with this. Ask God for the grace to do it as you're starting a quiet prayer where you're just talking. I call it my one-on-one time. I'm just talking to God and listening to him. So it's a time to quiet down. If you can do it in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that's great. But, you know, if you have to drive there and it's not going to work, that's fine too. Just find a quiet place to be with God and to talk to him and receive from him. You can take a little scripture passage with you, but really small. It's not a time for reading. It's a time for talking to him, listening. And so just to have that one-on-one time with him and let everything flow from that. And, you know, going to Mass, praying the rosary, those are beautiful things, and they will be enhanced by this 10-minute challenge of just spending that quiet time. And it's amazing how hard that 10 minutes can be. When I started, too, it's like, oh, must be over by now. Nope, just 1 minute then. All right. But then I grew. I mean, and the devil is trying to keep you from doing it. So you know you have this enemy, but just stick with it, and beautiful, beautiful things happen.
So when we receive, is God going to speak to us audibly? Is he say, ah, here I am. It's good to talk to you today.
Not usually. But we have our inner senses. The spiritual senses that we actually are in communication with him. And he knows what we need. And as we quiet down, Father Tim Gallagher in Discernment of Spirits is a great book resource for that. He's coming this summer to our convention.
That's right.
But just a beautiful, beautiful way to enter in.
Very good. Well, I thank you so much for our time together here. And I've got some housekeeping things here that we can talk about as we close out the show. Lots going on with Pro Sanctity. Pro Sanctity is a moving target. You got to keep going to that website. We have our Love is Fire National Pro Sanctity Convention, which is coming up. It's open to everybody July 29th through the 31st. So you want to go online there and find out more about how to sign up for the convention. It's going to be in the St. Benedict Center in Schuyler, Nebraska, and it's going to close at the new Pro Sanctity Center in Elkhorn. We're all looking so forward to that. It's no longer a barn. It's the center, and it's not going to look like a barn. It's going to be amazing. All praise be to God.
Yes.
And you said Father Timothy Gallagher, speaking of which, he is going to be there at the Love is Fire National Pro Sanctity Convention. He has a lot of the Discernment of Spirits books, the Ignatian prayer, that kind of prayer. Mm-hmm. We have wonderful, wonderful, our own Deacon James Keating, who is with the Institute for Priestly Formation, wonderful, wonderful speaker and spiritual director. We're going to have Pro Sanctity members from New York, California, Kansas, South Dakota. Amazing. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Even our own Archbishop.
Archbishop Lucas is coming from Omaha. And it's just going to be a terrific time. There's a Pro Sanctity School of Formation is going to be starting soon. One of the things Pro Sanctity does is formation. And speaking of which, visit Information Talks September 20th through the 23rd with Cardinal Arinzi. You have to come. This is amazing that we're getting Cardinal Arinzi here. Can you believe it? I got goosebumps. He's going to be speaking on the universal call to holiness in light of Familiaris Consortio. And you'll want to get your hands on that document at the one of our Catholic bookstores, or you can go on I think probably the Holy See's website there. That'd be one way to get a hold of that. So you'll want to get a hold of that and join us September 20th through the 23rd. Also, we've got Camp Fun and Faith is going to be starting soon here, and you'll want to go to the website and find out more about all of these things, as well as volunteering. We need you to help us help us by being a volunteer. You can tell us where you can fit in. We've got office work, mailing, calling, planning, organizing. We need small group leaders for confirmation retreats, cooking, kitchen, and hospitality. We need all kinds of help. And the green team is a great Pro Sanctity group to join. So all ages of volunteers are accepted. Yes. So if you want to find out more about any of these events and the things that are going on at Pro Sanctity, you'll go to www.prosanctity.org, and you can find out all the information you're looking for. And this has just been the time has just flown. So finally, let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus, divine master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother, and our mother. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Monica.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the Pro Sanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The Pro Sanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.